Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 75. In this episode, we're going to be talking about everything around hosting, around your membership website, your community-focused website on WordPress. And both me and my special guest believe that you should host on WordPress, but you need some knowledge to make the right choices about hosting and some of the key phrases that are around hosting should be very useful to you. So I'm going to introduce our guest, our regular guest, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure. Kurt Von Aden. I own an agency called Mañana No Mas. I help a lot of folks with membership, learning, and e-commerce websites. I work directly with WP Tonic and the good folks over at Lifter LMS.
Yeah, and we're getting a lot of new listeners and viewers going up in the rankings. Thank you so much. Please share it on social media. But before we go into all this feast about hosting and what you need to know, I've got a couple messages from our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
Hi there, tribe. It's Jonathan here, and I want to tell you about OmaSend. OmaSend is a great plugin that delivers SMS messaging and email messaging to your clients. If you're building a woo solution for your client and you're looking to provide a SMS functionality for them and great email, why don't you look at OmaSend? Got a great special deal. You can go to wp-tonic.com/deals and they're offering 30% off the first 3 months. Plus, if you need any technical help or a migration, they're offering almost $1,000 to help migrate if you've got a group of clients that are looking for this type of service. It's a great offer. They're a great company. I highly recommend them to you. So, like I say, go over to the deals page on the WP Tonic website and you'll find more details there. Speak to you soon, folks. Bye. We're coming back, folks. I also like to point out, if you're looking for any kind of advice or in a great community that both me and Kirk are on, you can go to Facebook and join us there on the Membership Machine Facebook group. It's totally free. It's a great group of people like you, plus WordPress experts and enthusiasts. So if you've got any questions about the podcast, about what we're covering, that's a great free resource to go over and join, folks. So let's go straight into it. And I'm going to take probably the lead in the first half, but Kurt knows a bit. I know a little bit more about this. So we're going to go into some of the leading technology and some of the leading buzzwords that are thrown around. And one of the leading technology is Redis. And hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly because I'm notorious. How did I do there, Kurt?
I'm going to give you that one, Jonathan. That's the way I say it too.
Now, when it comes to large membership websites, large learning management systems, and also around community website, specifically around BuddyBoss, Redis is thrown around like it will be the magic tool that will solve all your server problems, especially with large. This normally comes up when you're utilizing inadequate hosting, and also your setup, the mix of plugins, the theme you're using. There's a lot more variables. So the idea that one technology can solve your problems is ridiculous, folks. And those that band it around, I'm going to get a load of tech heads emailing me and saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. It's just my opinion, folks, for better or worse. Other people, don't get me wrong, Redis is a great technology, but it is not. It's not going to solve all your problems. That's just, and the problem is, it's normally a lot of factors. BuddyBoss is a great platform. It's a beast. It eats server resources, especially if you get above 250 to find 500 users. There's different types of users. They're very, very active users, but that's the whole point of having a community-focused website. They are going to be more active on the site than even a learning a membership website. That is the whole purpose of it, folks. So they're going to be on there a lot more, utilizing a lot more server resources, and caching will not save you here. But funny enough, Redis, I just said that, but Redis, it's a lot more than this, but it is a caching technology. But what it caches is your BuddyBoss, your membership website is driven by a database. Everything is stored and retrieved from the database. And Redis utilizes some very complicated technology that's beyond my pay skill, and it stores that in cache. If you've got a computer, you know you've got a hard disk, which now can be a solid state disk, and then you've got RAM, which is not stored long term. Well, this is the equivalent here. You've got on your servers, you've got they're normally solid state hard drives where your website is stored, but then you've got RAM, and Redis works on storing what would normally be stored on the hard disk. It's stored in the RAM, and this is very, I'm explaining this extremely simplistically, but that's the basic thing about it. It's storing your database in RAM, and because you're storing it in RAM or allowing it to be stored in RAM in an efficient and highly sophisticated way, that it and because of BuddyBoss, because of membership, other caching technologies, you can't really utilize them. This will work on that back and forth that a membership community website has. Is this making sense, Kurt?
Yeah, I think I want to kind of step in and just kind of give a little backstory to listeners or viewers that...
Well, please also ask me questions. Ask me questions about this as well.
Right. I will. But if you're coming from a standard WordPress website that was like a blogging site for you, and you're like, oh, I think I might want to add membership, or you've come in recently and said, oh, what's membership like? Or maybe I want to run a course. What Jonathan is describing is the main difference between more of a static website versus a dynamic website. And that dynamic website is when you have people that get content served based on their membership privilege, or content based on their status in a course or completion rate in a course. So the database has to work much harder, which is why we're having this conversation. But Jonathan, if you would, when we talk about Redis and object caching, what kind of things is it storing? Like, is it storing the images, the blog?
No, that's a CDN, which we're going to be covering. These are the queries. The databases have queries. It's kind of code, folks. There's the code that builds the website. There's the code that builds the interface. And then when basically Kurt's totally right. When you've got a static site is something you don't have to log into. Obviously, you have to log into when you're building the site, the back end. But the front end, there's the intermediate, and that's what membership community tends to cover, because they're going to have to log into a section. Soon as they logged in, a lot of the technologies that are utilized to make your website fast, you really can't use them with that login user. But Redis and Object Cache. Object Cache is another technology that it doesn't work in the way that Redis works, but it does store it, but it stores it, it cuts down on the queries. That's the best way to describe it. Where Redis is storing it in RAM, in that non-hard disk memory type. That's the best way in a beginner intermediate language. Because one of the problems with this, folks, is that there's certain languages, and if you start, I will lose you quite rapidly. Like I say, this is a beginner intermediate, so you understand. Now, both these technologies, they're both kind of semi-open source, and your hosting provider can set this up, can set up Redis, and then they can offer a plugin, a customized plugin from themselves. We do. We can provide Redis. But I found Redis is a great technology, but you only get a benefit from it on a very large website, a very intermediate to large community focused website. I'm going to give you a rough figure here, because it does depend on the interactivity, the back and forth. But we're talking about over 1,000 users. This is over 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 users in your community. This is where Redis technology really can make a difference. But yeah, only make a difference when you've got everything else sorted out.
Yeah. I tried to picture it like when I was training technicians how to work on cars, when I was a service manager, service director. Technicians, most people know that technicians have these giant toolboxes on wheels, and then they have a lift that lifts the car up and down, right? And so there's always a few steps between the lift and the toolbox is full of stuff, just full of stuff. What a good technician does is they usually have a small cart on wheels, and their most commonly used tools are on that cart, and they take the cart right up to the car. So when they work on the car, everything's right in the cart that they normally need. And if it's not on the cart, then they can default and go back to the toolbox and get something as a one-off, you know? And so when I think about caching and I think about Redis and object caching, in my mind, that's kind of what I picture. It's like quickening the pace and lessening the strain on the server, because we found a way to make getting the most commonly used stuff an easier step.
Yeah. There's a free available plugin, but it has to be, the server side has to be installed. The object cache, that has to be set and installed. You get a lot of people, folks, that just install these plugins. They have multiple, and you can get into a real Frankenstein situation really quite rapidly, and it can cause a lot of problems, especially with a membership and community, because if you've got different things being cached at different, it can turn into a nightmare really quickly. And it's one of the things why I wanted to do this particular episode. So let's go and move on. And then you've got, these are all server technologies, but then you've actually got the software, the server. You got the server, the hardware, but for it to do anything, it needs software and server-side software. These technologies, I grouped them. They actually produce the website. When they get a request, they respond to it. And for many, still, it's still out there and it still runs a large amount of website, was Apache. Now, Apache's open source. Most of them are. And it does a great job. But for larger websites, for larger, it was found to be, it was creaking a little bit. So Nginx came on the scene. It's not spelt Nginx, it's pronounced Nginx. And that was developed by Facebook, actually. The technology was developed by Facebook because they were finding that, you know, it's an enormous platform. It's really a glorified website, but it's a web-based app. So it's a hybrid. And they found that the existing technology just wasn't handling it. They were having problems with performance. So they developed Nginx in-house, and then they decided to make it open source. And it's a lot of hosting, especially the more quality side of the hosting providers, they normally provide Nginx. And we do. Our websites are run on Nginx. And it's a great platform. And then you got another, which is Lightspeed. And Lightspeed is even more of a hybrid because it provides a suite of different caching and different services. It competes in Apache, Nginx, but it also provides a CDN. It also provides three or four. It's a bundle, basically, the company. And some of their technology are open source as well. And a lot of people love Lightspeed as well. And they provide a plugin. Because we need micro, we use Nginx and then we utilize WP Rocket because we customize what we're providing for each customer, if that makes sense. But they're the main server technologies, like Apache, Nginx, and Lightspeed.
Good. If I could jump in, Jonathan, let's say I'm a customer that's starting a new membership site, a lot of these hosts, and I just want to phrase this right. I mean, you own WP Tonic, which is a hosting source, so obviously go to WP Tonic. But let's say I'm a customer and I'm shopping, right? And you see these phrases. How does somebody that is shopping, for instance, when you say you go into Bluehost or Hostinger or SiteGround or any of those, some of these more budget packages, sometimes you don't even see what kind of server it is.
No,
seeing a hosting package. And then if you go into, and I'm just going to throw some names out, don't get mad at me, but let's say I go to Cloudways or I go to 20i or I go to something else, it's going to say, do you want to be on Linux? Do you want to be on this or that? How does somebody coming off the street, starting the first membership site, really make a decision? Is it just hit or miss, or what? I don't know. I don't understand how to tell people what direction to go.
Well, it's extremely difficult. And it's one of the problems with WordPress, because some of the more quality providers that we're going to talk about in the second half of the show, they have their problems because they don't specialize in membership and community website. So they utilize a lot of caching technology that works really well with non-membership community websites.
Yeah.
Or they do offer packages, but they tend to be aimed at the WooCommerce and people who've got ticket shop, price shop, because when they look at the WooCommerce solutions, the e-commerce solutions, it's normally a big jump in price.
Yeah.
But even if you choose those, the requirements, because a lot of people that buy on a e-commerce website, they're not logging in. So it's a different, but it's normally if you're with a lot of the more premier, you look at the e-commerce, that's probably what you're going to, and you're going to have some real ticket shop. But with the more budget, they don't, because the reason why they don't, Kirk, is for historic reasons, they've got a hybrid setup. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of websites. Some of those websites are on what is called a waterfall hosting experience, where if you, before another technology we're going to discuss, which is Docker, if you had more demand, you just got bigger servers and you just upped the game, basically. You got more and more hardware. So they've got a load of this kind of what I call waterfall hosting, where they've got a lot of the clients, and then they are gradually moving those over, or the lower tiers keep on the more traditional, and the more demanding, or when people complain, they gradually move them to a more cloud-based hosting, utilizing Nginx or Lightspeed or whatever. So they've got their own problems, because they're gradually moving over to more modern technologies, but they've got such an enormous amount of clients on existing setups that they can't do it all at once. They just haven't got the staff. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. For the listener at home that's listening to this now, do you think there's a difference in their strategy of considering a host or considering a hosting technology based on whether they have an existing audience or whether they're a startup? Like, do you think they should think in terms of starting out with a minimal viable product and then upgrading? Or do you think they should say, my goal is to have this level of service?
I think you need to look at a quality provider around the $25, $30 mark if you're starting off. But understand that you're probably going to have to approach their support, and they're going to have to switch off some of their caching technologies for you. And unfortunately, because you're just one customer and their setups, they've got specific setups for different clients, when they do update, the caching might appear again, and that's what you find. So I can't, and I'm not being devious because we provide hosting here. It's just difficult because that is the problem. But to start off with, you'd be better off looking at a more quality hosting provider around the $30. But do understand that as soon as you get traction, you'd be looking at 90, 200, 300, 500 as you grow. But when you get to the 300 and 500, you should have 1,000 paying members. And if you get a reasonable amount, it's not something you should be concerned. What you should be concerned about is that they be able to log in and have a great experience.
Yeah. Right? I agree.
Now, CDNs, this is a CDN that we work a lot with. CDNs, well, they distributed it. Basically, your images, your PDFs, anything that you're uploading that's available to people. Basically, where the data center is, where the server is hosted, or the networks utilizing something like Docker, wherever it physically the location is, even though this is traveling at light speed over fiber, there is going to be a legacy. If you're in South Africa and your server's in you're in Australia and your server's in America, there will be some legacy. There will be some legacy in the US. If your server's on the West Coast and people are hitting it on the East Coast, from the East Coast, there will be less legacy, but some legacy. Well, the way we get way that websites get around this is CDNs. A hosting provider or something will have data centers all over the place, and they cache all the images, PDFs, and it's distributed. And when you make a claim, it's clever enough to say, well, this person's actually trying to look at your website in Australia, and we've got a copy of these images, and they're in our server that's based in Australia, and we'll throw them up to them from there. So it reduces the legacy. Is this making sense, Kurt?
Yeah, it's like watching a center fielder catch a fly ball, and everybody's screaming, "I got it! I got it! I got it!" But he grabs it because he's the one in the right spot.
And this can cause real problems when it comes. It's another thing that gets people when they've got a membership website and a community website, because especially if you're that can cause some, because it's another form of caching. So you got to know how to set it up. And you got to go with a partner that does know how to set it up for especially a membership community website, because that can cause problems. But on the other hand, it's best not to use it in some ways, but only use it for specifics. Like we work a lot with bunny.net because it's a great resource for caching video, providing video hosting. And you can set it, and they provide an API, and it works really great with Presto Player as a partner. We provide that at WP Tonic, and it works really sweet. And also Lifter NMS have got their own video add-on plugin, and they all work really well with bunny.net. But that's a specific. It's only supplying the video. It can get really messy if you've got a host, if you utilize one of these services by just adding my hosting's crap, I don't want to pay for reasonable hosting, I can get away, or you're told by somebody, well, I just installed this CDN plugin, and that's when problems happen. Did that make sense?
Yeah, you just kind of got me smiling a little bit, because one of the resources that you had sent me, and I sent you a quote in our Slack notes, but this company wrote, "For this reason, our higher tier managed WordPress hosting plans starting at $3.99 a month include," and I was like, that's just so not real, right? Like sometimes you just have, like especially with membership and learning sites, you just have to have good hosting behind it.
Yeah, if you're with the provisor around caching, you've got to be looking at around $30-$35 a month, in my opinion. And it will cover you for, you know, these are demanding websites. And compared to the SaaS platforms out there, that's still great value.
Oh, yeah.
That's still great value. Cloudflare. Well, this is the tricky thing, folks. People can end up with bits of their website stored in cache all over the place. They installed it. Now, we love Cloudflare, and when somebody hosts with us, we ask them to set up a free Cloudflare account, and we then set everything up for them. Now, when it comes to the reason why, well, it enables the client to keep really control of their domain. But it gives us a certain access to their domain and their DNS records, which helps us get everything set up, folks. But the other factor is it provides a lot of additional security, the free Cloudflare account, especially DOS attacks. It really helps with that, and it offers a lot of other security features. We actually also are a partner with Mailcare and BlogVault, and they are superb, and we, as part of our hosting packages, but even though we're using some of the top technology, we still ask our clients to set up, but we make sure the DNS side of it is switched off, because that can that can cause problems because you got somewhere else cashing. Or I say that we set it up so it doesn't cause a problem, because if it's set up and you don't know what you're doing, especially with a membership community website, it's another form of cashing. I must have said cashing about 20 times in this show already, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's the bugbearer of everything.
Yeah.
As long as you know that, you're fine. I think I've got a couple other things to say, and then we go into some of the hosting providers. I think it's time for us to have a break, I think, and we'll be back and we'll be diving into this some more. See you in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Oh, I've just dug my hole. I can see the emails and the comments on this video already. You don't know what you're talking about. I love this technology. You don't know what you're talking about. You just see it now, can't you? On to something that's really important. It's something called PHP workers. Now, see, with your set, that's another thing why you need, we have a regular setup and it covers a very broad spectrum, and we're a bit generous on the PHP worker side, because PHP workers don't use caching technology, and that's why a lot of the cheaper hosting, they know that the people that signing up for them don't know anything, and so they just don't provide the information, so they avoid the subject, right? But it's one of the factors, and a lot of the cheaper hosting providers and that, they throw as much caching technology as possible, layers of it, you know, layer by layer of it, because that enables them to ram as many webs. Well, it's not so true, because if you're using Docker, there is no single server. If they're using waterfall technology, older technology, the game was ramming as many websites onto a particular physical server as possible. That was the name of the game, and they got away with that by using tons of caching technology, right? Now, PHP, modern WordPress, the server side, the parts of WordPress all done in PHP, still are. The front end, they moved to front end technology based on JavaScript. And my mind's gone blank about the particular kind of JavaScript. React. They use React. And funny enough, React was developed by Facebook as well. It was in-house technology as well, which they made also open source in the end. Funny enough, Facebook have some of the key technologies that run the internet were actually developed by Facebook, and they, to make them really popular, they decided to make them open source because it benefited Facebook. It got more developers in to utilize those technologies, and they've become standards. You know, React, there are other JavaScript technologies like Angular and Vue. They're the two main competitors. And then there's a host of other, and jQuery is still popular, but there's a host of other JavaScript competitors, but they're the main three. And like most of WordPress is in PHP, and basically when a request comes for you from the website, so when somebody clicks a button or somebody answers a quiz question, something like that, a PHP request comes. All these requests are coming to WordPress on the server, and each request is given to an this is very simplistic, there's much more to this, but it's given to an individual PHP worker. That's how you can visualize each request. And a PHP worker can only deal with one request at a time. So if your website's producing a lot of requests and it only has, let's say, 5 PHP workers, a queue develops because it can only deal with 5 at a time, because each PHP worker can only deal with one request. And can you see where I'm going with this? Because this can produce a real bottleneck.
Yeah, especially if you had a lot of active users, right? Because people would be clicking on stuff and nothing would be happening because it'd be still working on someone else's request.
Well, it just slows down. Everything slows down. But you've got to have a reasonable number of people logged in into the website at the same time interacting. But that's what you get when you get a reasonably successful membership community website. You do get multiple people logging in all the time at the same time working with the thing.
Well, and just think, you know, a lot of people that we talk to in the e-learning space are really looking to do cohorts where students are taking the content together.
Exactly.
Class. So now you've got 15, 20 people in a class, and you might be running 10 classes at a time if you're a school. So that's a lot of activity at once.
And our hosting is one of the factors. We're quite generous. I'm not going to publicly say, and we can vary it, but we provide more PHP workers than most do. When I was setting up and the discussions I was having and that, it was one of the questions. And on to the last thing, Docker. Now, I would say Docker is really kind of revolutionized things. There are other technologies, like there's multiple technologies out there, but Docker was really a revolutionary technology when it came to server technology, because until Docker came on the scene, you had what I call this waterfall, where you had the traditional, you could just have one big server, but it wasn't really the reality. They were networked in a network with a load balancer technology. And Docker is a load balancer technology in some ways, but a much, much more sophisticated technology where it knows the physicality of the network, but then it spreads resource requests not on one over a much broader network. So it balances. So you, on the more traditional model, you would always get bottlenecks, even though it was a network. It just, the technology wasn't sophisticated to balance the demand with the actual resources. Is this making sense, Kurt?
Absolutely.
But when Docker came out, it made, you could have much more distributed server resources and a much more sophisticated balancing mechanism. I'm not going to go into a lot more because I feel that I'm starting to get into the more sophisticated side of it. Hopefully you haven't lost all of it, because it is important that you understand these concepts, folks. All right. Because you're going to be fed a load of crap here by a lot of people. But it did kind of revolutionize the whole area of hosting and cloud hosting and the whole scene in the way, in the same way like providers like Amazon Web Service, Google, Microsoft with Azure. These are all cloud-based hosting providers. A lot of the more traditional hosting providers actually buy, and we do as well. And also there's smaller providers like Vulture. That's what you asked me about. This is what Vulture is actually, Kurt. It's a smaller Azure Amazon Web Server provider, but they have their own data centers, their own server centers, and it's just their servers are a higher grade of server that, you know, that they've got in their network. They just provide more powerful servers using technologies like Docker. So they really focus at performance, really, Kurt.
Nice.
And that's what we're using. We're using Vulture as our cloud provider.
Sweet. If I'm a customer and I'm looking at these hosts, and this is a weird thing because you provide plugins and all that. So now I'm saying, let's say I'm someone that already bought and subscribed to my plugins. I want to do it myself for whatever reason. I'm not looking at WP Tonic. What are some of the questions I should ask? Like, should I just try and read the About Us page and make a decision, or should I send a contact to these providers to find out what services I'm really getting? How do you think people can make a smarter decision about what host they choose?
Well, we're going to go through and some of my recommendations when it comes to the hosting. But I think go with a host around $30 to $35 if you're going to really start a membership website, yeah, and you don't want it painful. But really, when you set it up, email them and say, this is going to be for a membership website. We offer it, but when it comes to BuddyBoss, there's some outrageous people. It's a difficult one. We do offer a really cheap starter plan. People say, can't be true. Well, it is and it isn't. You know, you've got to be realistic. That starter plan is the key to it. It's in the word of it. Starter plan. It's a starter plan, folks. It's to get you and get the first group of students in. But if you start to get some traction, we expect you to upgrade your hosting pretty quickly. But we offer it because we know a lot of people, they're trying to build something. That's why it's called a starter plan, folks. The key is in the wording. And then we got growth. And I forgot what the other one's called.
Enterprise?
No, we've got growth and something else. I forgot the name of my own plans. But the key is in the word starter. Yeah, it's early for me.
Yeah, scale. Starter, yes, growth, scale, and enterprise.
Yeah. But the words in the thing. But as long as you inform them, and they might say, well, we can't switch off, or we can only... What you really want them to do is switch off. When somebody logs in, the caching is switched off. You do not, a lot of them say, well, you tell us which particular page. Don't go down that path. That's the path to madness. That don't work out too well. You want it switched off. This is to my opinion, folks. That's what we do. If you're logged in now, you can cache the front, but when you get, that's why you, that's, we go by, because we can see how many people they have as members. We can see how much activity they're doing. And we just say, well, you need, you know, because the back end will slow down because they need more PHP workers. They also have, you know, we recommend, we guide, we don't enforce. we are hosting provider plus. I had to learn this the hard way, but we have people that just, we will also provide a staging site where you, if you want to start playing around and install a load of stuff, get on with it. Because you can't, you normally, you can utilize staging sites to update plugins and see and check to see if anything's happened, but you can't normally use staging. This applies to WooCommerce as well, e-commerce. You can't normally utilize staging in a traditional, I update everything and then push it to production because you can't sync, especially it's a very active new membership joining, that you can't sync everything. But what you can utilize is for testing. And if you want to try something out new out, you can. But we got people that have installed tons of stuff. And there's a consequence. You really don't want to install loads of new stuff on your production website for security reasons and for performance reasons, because you're going to end up with a really janky database. And we can help out with that, but that's on our support plus options. That's why I'm saying, just saying, well, we provide Redis and your website's going to be super fast. It just isn't the reality, folks. It depends if you're utilizing. See, if you're using if you're using certain page builders and blah blah blah, you're going to have problems anyway.
Just an isolated one-off that I just went through with somebody. Had a customer on another host. And none of their pictures were coming up in Buddy Boss. None of the pictures were coming up in Buddy Boss. And so went through, you know, the settings and the recommendations, doing all the normal stuff that you would do to troubleshoot something. And right at the bottom of media in the Buddy Boss settings menu, it said, we're unable to detect FFmpeg, you know, in your server, contact your server, blah, blah, blah. And when they contacted that server, even paying what seems like a premium hosting fee, they were like, well, we don't add that feature on this type of hosting. You need to upgrade to this type of hosting. And so there's lots of details, like the devil's in the details. Like, you need to know what kind of site you're building, what kind of tools you need, and really think it through, because it's a nightmare to just be moving stuff around willy-nilly.
Yeah. So let's go into the real controversial. So you got what is called share hosting. Share hosting used to really mean something. It was like they would use gallons of caching and RAM as many websites on a particular server or network. Because these more larger traditional are moving to cloud hosting, to some of it, it's a gradual conversion. The really cheap, they leave to the last, because a lot of these people, very small websites, they're not very demanding, and the clientele is happy with what they've got. They've invested a lot of money in these more traditional setups, so they just keep them going for those type of clientele.
Yeah.
And unless you read up, they're going to throw you on that until you start reading them up. And then they might move you to a more cloud-based solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got GoDaddy. I would never use GoDaddy apart from buying my domains, and I would get those from Cloudflare anyway. If you're going to buy the problem with Cloudflare is it's a technical tool. They do have, but the side, I migrated all my domains to Cloudflare. And they've been great, very decent company, very fair prices. But the interface is shit. It's awful buying when you're initially trying to set it up. Well, GoDaddy make it really easy. But apart from buying your domains through GoDaddy, don't use them. For God's sake, don't use them. Just painful. And there's some really nice people that work for GoDaddy. And they're never going to sponsor the podcast or me, but they are useless. Another useless, a bit better than GoDaddy, but they're pretty useless, is Bluehost. Just don't use them, folks, please. SiteGround of this group is the better. If you really buy their real budget hosting, they're going to nickel and dime you to death. All these. Funny enough, Bluehost, I don't think they nickel and dime you so much. They're just useless. GoDaddy. Oh, and you've got people like the Alligator, and they're useless as well. You know, if you've just got a small website for a small business and you're not getting much traffic, these are going to be fine. If you've got a membership website and definitely if you're considering BuddyBoss, you lost your marbles. That ain't going to work out for you. Well, I've dug a hole for myself there. What do you want to say about this?
At the risk of being spicy, I was on Bluehost for like 16 years and I did great. I did really great with them for a while because it was a great proof of concept tool. It was because they were all startup sites. They didn't have traffic. When things got busier, I moved them over to something else. And it was a great tool to launch and test with. What shocked me, though, was it was 2-3 years ago. My normal, you know, renewal came around and it was shocking. It had gone from, you know, 120 or 130 bucks a year to 1300 bucks or something. I was like, what's this? And they're like, oh, no, that's our new pricing. And I was like, well, I'm the new, not your customer anymore. And that was the end of that.
Yeah, it worked out for you at a certain price and you had certain expectations and then they bund the prices up.
But then it becomes down to what are the expectations. So if you're in some small town in a flyover state running a chiropractor's office and you just got three pages up, home, about, and contact, yeah, that might work for you. Yeah, $5 a month might be a great budget to have some brochure website up. But if you want to have something that's active and dynamic, you definitely got to up the game.
Then you got the fully cloud. They came into the market a bit later. But they've been around some of these providers a while, cloud, and they're pure cloud hosting. They either got their own data centers or they're utilizing Google, Amazon Web Services, Azure. There's also a load of second tier like Vulture. There's a whole group of second tier cloud-based providers underneath Google, Amazon Web Services, Azure, right? These are WP Engine, Kinster, Rocket.net. Rocket.net's got traction because they're really aimed at the WordPress professional. There's a few others, but look at the $30 to $35. The thing is that it's a good experience. They say managed WordPress hosting. That means nothing now, folks. That is such an abused term. With our basic hosting, we are one of the few providers that will update all the plugins for you. We do it just because the sites that we're dealing with have a lot more plugins and it just helps us reduce the support. But then we've got another layer called Support Plus. Managed hosting is WordPress managed hosting is such an abused term now. But WP Engine, Kinster, Rocket, WP Engine have got a bit complicated with their buying experience. They do offer, but if you really delve in it, you start at around $29, $30 plus. Same with Kinster. Kinster was very aggressive with their pricing and then they weren't making any money. So they started... That Rocket is in the business of trying to get new clients. So they kept their prices. I predict in about a year's time they will start putting the prices up because they're VC-backed. And they're probably not making any money at the present moment, but they're trying to get market share. But probably this is my prediction, in a year's time, they will start putting the prices up very similar to what Kinster had to do. Did that make any sense?
Yeah. But I kind of have a question for you from the course creator, membership host, moderator perspective. And that is, you'll hear a lot about whatever you do, don't do shared hosting. If someone on that network or someone on that server is a bad actor and sends a ton.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So you don't know if GoDaddy's put you on a traditional waterfall setup. Yeah. I use this term waterfall. A lot of people don't, but the reason why I say waterfall is the traditional way of coding. It was called, you coded by waterfall, and then Scrum came in, which is a different technology of a code project. And I apply it to this. You don't know if they put you on a traditional server setup or they've gone cloud. They don't tell you GoDaddy because they don't want you to know, because if that makes sense. But then you got, before we go in, you got things like i10 that you like. i10. i10 is a British hosting, but
20i.
Was it?
20i.
Oh, 20i, sorry, 20i.
i10's a highway that goes through Texas.
All right, 20i. They're a UK company. They provide really good support, but they've got their own internal technology. You have no idea what. It's all one big lump, and they're using the priority technology on top of it. They built it all out, and you have no idea what you're using, what is. But they're very nice people, aren't they? Yeah, I think you really know. Do they still provide phone? It's chat mostly, isn't it?
Chat and tickets.
All right. But they're very English in their, I think they're using English support. I'm not sure. I think they are. But the only thing is, and the two founders have got a history in hosting long term, but I have no idea what they're using. No idea. Zero idea.
Yeah, safe to say I don't either.
Right. Now, when it comes, but that's a hybrid, but then you got these. If I was an average client, I would not go down this particular route that I'm saying, which is virtual private servers, but it is a way and it isn't, because I'm used to the old term here. But you got providers like DigitalOcean, Cloudways, Vulture. They're really aimed at the WordPress professional that's hosting for a client, really. Or if you really want to get into this, the thing with Cloudflare got bought by DigitalOcean about a year and a half ago, that they've been running the prices up, and they've been cutting down on the choice, and obviously really pushing DigitalOcean. Because DigitalOcean owns it, all right?
You mean Cloudways, right? Cloudways, yes. Bought by DigitalOcean?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't make that clear. They do offer Vulture. They do offer other providers, but they're really pushing DigitalOcean. I feel in the end they will just offer DigitalOcean. I think gradually, I wouldn't be surprised if they go that way. And then you've got Vulture, which is similar to DigitalOcean, but they're utilizing their server technologies more. But I wouldn't recommend it if you're a normal consumer. You just want to use WordPress to build your membership site up. Yeah, that's it. And then you've got Rapid. Is it Rapid?
Rapid.
That's a hybrid as well, because that's coming from BuddyBoss. They've got a partner and they're providing their own hosting. But it's pretty pricey. It's not outrageous. And I understand why they're doing it. They are really, they really market Redis. And yeah, if you got, you know, but I think that's, they're not doing anything iffy, folks, because they're really marketing their solution to, you've gone beyond starter, you know, you've got a larger group of people. And if you've got a larger group of users, Redis, and you've sorted everything else out, Redis will make a big difference. But the only problem is, I don't want to kind of go against them like I'm making out they're doing something shifty. They're not. And they like all of us, they can't spend ages trying to explain everything. They're there to sell a product and a service and make a living. So it is what it is. Hopefully we didn't lose the whole audience, because I went a bit deep here, didn't I, Kurt? So what? On reflection of this windy episode, which I'll probably, but I think it was a useful exercise.
It's worth having the conversation, Jonathan. It's absolutely worth it. I mean, and because we work at an agency level, we see users at all levels of engagement. So we're able to kind of have this conversation from, a multiplex of opinion. Would I like to pay $5 a month for hosting and be free and clear? Yeah, that'd be great, but it's just not real. The other side is, I have a client that has multiple BuddyBoss websites. And so they went with Rapid because BuddyBoss and Rapid had some kind of a co-opt ad or investment together. And I will sell it. I'll tell you straight up, I worked on a site for them without BuddyBoss, just Lifter LMS and a website. Boom. Right? Man, I'll tell you what, I thought I was in the future. I was clicking the mouse and the screen was changing before my mouse was done clicking. But then I saw it was $100 a month to host a site. And I was like, okay, that's for $100 a month, I guess that's the trade-off, right? If you're in the 35 to 55, 60, maybe $70 a month, and you're able to use that website without giving yourself a migraine, you're doing great. Like, count your blessings and move forward. There's a lot of great hosting out there in that sweet spot number that you've mentioned multiple times in this broadcast.
Yeah, I think because it just depends on how many users you've got and how active they are, what they're up to, and what you use to build the website, and what plugins. If you've just gone absolute bonkers with all the plug. No, it's other factors. Are you using Fluent CRM? Because it's a fantastic solution. But if you've got like 2,000-3,000 users and you're sending out email, well, it doesn't send out the email because you have to use something like SendGrid, which we are partners with, or you use something like Amazon Web Services, or there's about 3 or 4 other back-end email engines you can utilize. But that's another additional strain on it all, which is totally fine. And then you've got the right server set up and the right mixture of plugins, themes, all the other factors.
Well, and there's something I want to touch on, because I've said it a couple of times, and I think you've inferred it. I've said, do you want to start out and then migrate, or do you want to pick a plan that you're going to grow into? Like what's a good strategy? And I will say, having worked with a ton of customers, a lot of times people will migrate. They'll say, okay, well, I'm going to start on Bluehost, and then I'm going to go to Cloudways. And when Cloudways doesn't meet all my needs, I'm going to go to WP Tonic, or I'm going to go to, you know, the next level. And a lot of times people don't recognize they've picked up another caching tool here or there that a provider's put in their website, or something's in the admin menu they don't notice, or there's a must use plugin which doesn't show up in your plugins menu in the administrator's menu. There's all these things that happen that you're maybe not aware of. And then that Frankenstein thing that Jonathan talked about becomes the problem when you move to the new host, which is an upgrade. You're expecting better performance, but now you're getting emails from your students or your members saying, I can't log in. I know I put the right password in. I can't get in. Or I just signed up for a course and I can't access it. Those are all signs that you're overcached and that something's gone wrong in your dynamic content.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is having multiple caching, and some of the plugins you install, they're doing some funny stuff with caching. Some of them even set up CDNs without even telling So,
Anything that says performance is probably caching.
Yeah, and if you don't know this, it's easy, and you can really start having the port lose all your hair, you know, especially if you are getting traction and you are getting students and that. But it can be avoided. I think if you can't afford $30-$35 a month to start off with, I really wouldn't go cheaper than that. I really honestly wouldn't. But you're going to have to ask them. It's best to say, can you switch off? Somebody's logged in, can have all caching off. And the reason why they, because you will then, yeah. So, and yeah, I think that's about it, because I can waffle on some more. So, Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, anything on the internet that's Manana no Mas will lead back to Kurt Von Annen. And the other thing is, I'm the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn, and I like to meet up with people on LinkedIn. That's kind of my jam.
Yep, and hopefully you found this useful. Give us some feedback, but not the really negative type, please. And we will be back next week with another great Membership Machine Show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes, and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.